Our first reading for our scripture for our service today from Genesis chapter 32. The same night Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men, and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, because of your tender love toward us sinners, you have given us your Son, that believing in him we might have everlasting life. Continue to grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may remain steadfast in this faith to the end, and finally come to life everlasting, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Both of our readings this morning, when you think about them, they may strike you as a bit strange, and I think more than that, maybe not only strange, but if you think about what happens in the Old Testament reading, for instance, with the parable that Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 18, you may find them to be, I don't know quite how to put it, would you say purposeless or waste of time? Worse, maybe unnecessary, even cruel. Our Old Testament reading, Jacob is making his way back to the place where he is from. And Jacob, at this point in his life, is under a lot of pressure. He had just had an argument with his father-in-law, and it made it clear that Jacob was no longer welcome there. And Jacob is headed where he's headed, towards home, is toward his brother Esau. That is the brother, you may remember, whom Jacob tricked out of his inheritance and blessing when he put the goatskins on his forearms and his neck, in order to trick their father into giving him these things. Jacob had fled from home soon thereafter because Esau wanted to kill him. And now Jacob is headed back to home. He is headed back to Esau. And if you had read earlier in chapter 32, Jacob had just heard the news that Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men. In other words, the one who he knew wanted to kill him is now approaching him, and he comes with a small army. And so it is under this duress that we begin our reading in chapter 32. And Jacob splits up his family and his flocks in two. The idea is that if Esau and his army attacks one half, maybe the other half can run and flee for safety. And after Jacob has done this separating, after Jacob has helped everyone ford the river, while he is alone, he's jumped by an attacker in the dark. And what more could go wrong? And yet, as you heard at the end of our reading today, the one who attacked him is none other than God. God had come down. He is the one who had attacked Jacob and wrestled with him all night until the break of day. And when God saw that Jacob was having the upper hand in the wrestling match, God touches Jacob's hip and puts it out of joint. And not only that, but as you see at the end of the reading, God never heals that. He never makes that right. Jacob will limp the rest of his life from that point. And that is what I mean by finding this event, this reading, unnecessary or even cruel. Why would God do that? Why would God attack Jacob? Why would he hurt him and then not heal him? Isn't that mean? Some ways you could make similar statements about our New Testament reading. There we have a parable that Jesus tells. It's a parable where there is a widow, someone who has already lost their husband, and therefore probably her only solid source of income and security. There was not life insurance back then, so she is on her own. And added to that is whatever other calamity she has suffered at the hands of an adversary. It is while she is in those straits that she approaches the unjust judge to get things settled. And Jesus tells us that this parable is about prayer. We should be consistent in prayer. We should not give up hope. And I think prayer is another area where we are all tempted to think, what is the point? God already knows what he needs. God already knows the future. Isn't prayer simply a waste of time then? Why do we have to pray? We'd rather just skip to the end and all of the blessings and be done with it. And like I said, both of these readings today leave us a little bit puzzled, maybe, even a little bit worried. And I doubt I am too far off to say that our objections and our thoughts tend to lead towards places like this. Why doesn't God just fix everything the way that I would like it without my having to ask him? And why should there be any bumps on the road to that end? And we think like that because we do not see the use or the value of what we read about in our readings today. We don't see the value in Jacob wrestling with God. We don't see the value in a widow having to go repeatedly to an unjust judge in order to have things settled. We don't see the value in having to pray consistently. We don't see value in much of the suffering that goes on in the world today. What is the point of all of that stuff? And I am not going to sit here and explain to you the point. And I'm not going to do so not because I think you should already know it or something along those lines. No, I'm not going to explain it because I do not need to defend God, nor do I even have the standing to do so. God doesn't need me to stand up here and offer perhapses or maybes or theoretical explanations about why what we read or why the suffering and the things that are going on in the world today, they're actually perfectly logical, even beneficial, if you look at them the right way. I'm not going to do that. I have no idea why God attacked Jacob at the Jabbok River. I have no idea why so many of our prayers don't turn out exactly the way that we asked. I have no idea why some people suffer terribly and others do not. And you can look out at the world, and you could look at your own life, and you could figure out some of these things maybe for yourself. Maybe you yourself have learned if you have had these kind of experiences in your own life. But I have no word from the Lord on why those things happen as they do. Nor does Pastor Walter. Nor does any pastor. Here are some things that are clear, however. Number one, if you have questions, comments, complaints, desires, or needs that you feel that God should attend to, you can take that up with Him yourself. It costs you nothing. And it turns out in our readings today, we find out He wants to hear from us. We could call that process prayer. And it would be perfectly in line with what Jesus recommends for us today in our gospel reading. But if I could add a bit of advice to that, do not do that. Do not pray while completely detached from God's word. And what I mean by that is, do not let the world inform you and shape your mind about how the world should work, about what it is you should like and want and desire. Do not let the world tell you what is important in life, and then turn around and speak to God and demand that He get in line with that. I'll tell you right now, that is not going to work out. Instead, my advice is, be immersed in God's word when you pray. Read it, think about it, meditate upon it, and then speak. You will see that this has the advantage of allowing God's own word to form our expectations and our desires about what should or should not be, about what is necessary and what is a waste of time. Doing this also lets the other side of that conversation, namely God, speak to you. Rather than prayer being a monologue from us to God that ends up being exactly like a Christmas list, it will instead be a conversation, and it will go back and forth. You will hear, you will speak, you will hear, and you will speak. That is like a relationship, if you will. Another thing that is clear, number two, God forces the faithful to wrestle with Him, to even fight with Him. We see in Genesis that Jacob wrestles with God. We see in the Old Testament that Job struggles against God mightily, as do any number of the prophets and saints that we read about in the Scriptures. This is true for faithful people today as well. Whatever his reasoning, God sometimes attacks, like He does with Jacob, and God sends suffering, and He sends violence, and He sends sickness, even to the faithful. And we see that those are opportunities to be faithful, and by that we mean these are opportunities to trust in God, to believe that He knows what is best, He knows what He is doing, even if we do not. Even if we can't see the reasoning. So we see in our Old Testament reading, Jacob hangs on in this wrestling match, and he insists that God bless him. The widow repeatedly asks the unjust judge for help with her problem. The lives of the faithful, that is your life, my life, will look similar to that. We are to hold on to God through accidents, through griefs, through cancer, through the death of loved ones, and insist that God will bless us in the end. And that gets at the last line of our gospel reading today about the widow and the consistent prayer. Jesus says that the solid one in this relationship, the one that you can count on absolutely, is God. God will deliver justice, and He will do it speedily. There is no doubt about it. He is a just God. The question that Jesus asks after that, though, is, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? Will we give up the faith? Will we stop looking to God and hoping in Him to bless us and rescue us and save us? The question mark in these situations is never about God, about whatever He is doing and whether or not it is right. Question mark is always about us and our faith and whether we are doing what we should. And if Jesus' question concerns you, if that kind of thing worries you, and I tell you, it should, then I would tell you, to prayer, to the Scriptures, to wrestling with God and holding on for dear life, to church, to the sacraments. And God will bless you in the end. Amen.